B-Pod Studios.
97.5, The Fanatic.
There is no baseball to talk about, which is problematic for a lot of us, including our next guest, who joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast, the play-by-play voice of the Phillies on NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tom McCarthy. T-Mac, how's life for you these days?
Michael, it's kind of like everybody else. I mean, trying to keep busy as best as possible, trying to, you know, keep the kids entertained, although they're older, so it's a little easier. Just trying to pass some time more than anything else and do some things around the house more than anything.
This spring training came to such an abrupt end. What was your reaction when all this hit?
You know, it's funny. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. I was getting ready for the Atlantic 10 semifinals, which I was doing on television. So I was sitting in my condo one day in Florida watching the Big 10 tournament and then the A-10 on the TV. Big 10 on my computer, A-10 on the TV. And all of a sudden, Dave Revson from the Big 10 Network says, "We've got breaking news. The Big 10 tournament has been canceled." And then all of a sudden, you watch the snowball, you know, go around all, you know, around the sports world, and everything start to be canceled, rightfully so, as we all found out. And then a day later, I wound up being at the complex just to drop my stuff off because they're sending stuff home in a truck. And it was so eerily quiet at the complex. It was weird because, you know, you're going in to do a game and there's no game to do. The only thing that you hear are the sprinklers on the backfield. That's it. There's nothing going on. So like everybody else, it was kind of hard to consume. And I stayed in Florida for 3 or 4 extra days because my son was still playing over on the East Coast in his independent league spring training. So I was waiting for him before I decided what we were going to do. And we eventually, you know, came home. So it was abrupt and it was, it was eerie, to be honest with you, being at the complex.
And this, listen, you're conditioned to be working right this time of year. Not only it started baseball season, the NCAA tournament. So, like, you're a man on an island right now. I can't imagine what that feels like to go from, like, such a busy schedule to nothing.
Yeah, I've tried to keep busy. I mean, I don't like to sit around, I've truly tried to keep busy. I mean, it sounds strange. I built a field hockey cage for my daughter so she can practice here at home. I built a batting cage for my son. And been doing a lot of stuff around the house just to kind of keep busy. You know, it was raining yesterday. I was like, man, there's not much to do inside. I'd rather be outside, obviously, like everybody else. And, you know, just keeping in tune with what's going on in the news. I mean, I've watched so much news like everybody else. And I've watched some old games on YouTube and things like that just to kind of have background noise while I'm doing stuff. And that's been kind of, it's been weird. It's been kind of weird just to be part of all that.
So what are you MacGyver building stuff? Like I didn't know you had those skills.
I honestly have very little skills, but I can watch YouTube and I can read and kind of figure it out. I got to tell you, the field hockey cage she's already broken a couple of posts. So I've already fixed those. I can't tell you that it's perfect, but at least she can get her stuff in if she wants to get her stuff.
Oh, that's good stuff, man. I wish I had that kind of craft handy, brain. I don't, unfortunately. So I don't know if you've seen these people that do play-by-play are producing these videos where they're doing play-by-play of real life.
Yeah.
You've been tempted to do that?
You know, it's funny. We met the other day. We had a conference call the other day about what we can do to kind of keep busy and keep everybody engaged on social media. And we came up with all these different ideas that we're probably going to try in the next couple weeks. I can't think Murph actually said we should do some play by play of different things going on. I think I did one just jokingly with my kids the one day when I was out in the front yard And then I sat there and said, okay, I got to stop this. This is kind of silly right now. But some of it's been funny. I mean, some of it, but the Jim Nance one was really good. The Joe Buck one was really good.
Now Buck is actually doing these for a charitable donation, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And I like the one part where he said, you know, if you want me to make it a little, not G-rated. No, we can talk about that too, because I think he wants to do that also.
That's awesome. All right, so let's pick off where we left off here with pick up where we left off in spring training. We were actually supposed to come down there that weekend when it all broke. And so we didn't really get an eyeball look at what you did early on. What did you see early on? It's a shame because there's so much more that had to develop with this team, especially bullpen-wise. But what did you see?
Yeah, I actually saw a real buttoned-up spring training when it came to the fundamentals. You know, I think the last 5 years or so that we've listened to everybody talk about fundamentals, how important it was to make sure that fundamentals, you know, were you know, what he were adhered to. And I thought we saw that. The other thing, I mean, it's buttoned up, but I got to tell you, it was relaxed. It was, and I know, you know, people always say, well, you know, spring training records don't matter, but it's better to win 12 than lose 12. But it was so relaxed and controlled in a good way.
So that was different under Girardi than it was under Gabe, obviously.
I think so. I mean, there's nothing, listen, Gabe had a lot of other ways to do things, but I think there was just a control that it's hard to explain, Mike. I mean, but it just seemed like everything was under control. I think the other part of it too is that I loved the sixth inning interviews that we did with Joe during mm-hmm. these home games.
Yeah,
like he would just sit there and he'd start calling things. Oh, look at that ball up the middle. Look at that play. Wow, what a curveball! That, you know, stuff uh-huh. like that. I just thought that was cool. I mean, I think that, you know, I just thought that a lot of that was really cool. And I felt good about the way things were going. I mean, obviously, it, you know, the games didn't technically matter, of course. But I did feel like we were, that they were moving in the right direction.
We're talking Tom McCarthy. Tom, I'm normally ambivalent about how much, how many games a new manager can win. And Girardi obviously is a successful manager. But there are a lot of people that believe that his presence can make this team better, and frankly, I see a lot of holes in this team. But first of all, what is your opinion on that? And then we'll get into what I think the holes are.
Well, I do think that there. I'm with you on that. I do think that there's questions that have to be answered. I mean, obviously, the bullpen. There's a lot of pieces there, but Sir Anthony's injury. You know, you can't underscore that. That's significant, and I think it just adds to the, you know, the wonderment of how the bullpen is going to be, particularly when you have to face three hitters. And I think the back end of the rotation still had some questions that needed to be answered too. And I don't think that's a far stretch for anybody to say. I really, you know, felt like that was part of it as well. Offensively, you know, there's noticeable question marks. The injury to McCutchen, you know, who's going to play center field on an everyday basis? Is it going to be a platoon for Adam Haseley and for Roman Quinn? You know, that's a question too. But I still thought there were things that were moving in the right direction. I think there were pieces that could help answer those questions, but realistically, they had to prove themselves in order for this team to be successful.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, so let's just look at a couple things here. First of all, the pitching, there's nothing we can do about it, right? They're counting on Arrieta at 3, they're counting on Eflin 4, and I don't know who they were counting on at 5. That was to be determined. The bullpen is severely limited at this point. So, like, where do you see where they can get any pitching improvement from last year?
Well, I think that, I mean, my thought is, and this is just me thinking, that if you're going to move Ranger Suarez into the rotation, which conceivably could happen, you know, he's a little different, or he's a lot different than everybody else because he's a lefty, he's got different stuff, then, you know, you can plug Liriano into that spot. And I think Liriano looked really good during spring training. He's an older guy. He has an understanding of what to do when it comes to facing the three hitters. And I think that he would prefer to be in the bullpen than be in the rotation. And that's basically what he did for the entire spring. So you have him, Alvarez, and then hopefully a healthy Adam Morgan. So that's part of it. You know, Neris was going to be the closer. And obviously there were still some questions for the other pieces that were going to go in there. But I still thought that, you know, that there was parts in there that you could use that could help, you know, possibly solidify things as the season moved on.
All right. Let's look now at the offensive production. And the key for me, and there are two guys that really didn't look that great in spring training, and they're both being counted on, but nobody being counted on more than Rhys Hoskins. What did you see with him? And then, you know, under the radar, not having a very good spring hitting-wise was Scott Kingery. So what did you see with both those guys?
Well, I actually felt like Scott, I do think Scott was going to be fine. Now, maybe that's a bad assumption on my part to just assume that he's going to be fine, but I really did think he was going to be fine. I wasn't really worried about him. I like the fact that he was going to settle in at second base. At least that's what I think, where I think he's going to settle in. And I think Rhys continued to be sort of a work in progress with what the approach they had. Now, I will say that despite the fact that the numbers probably weren't what he wanted them to be, I'm optimistic, obviously, that he is going to be able to fix whatever it was in the second half of last year. You know, part of that is that I do like the new coaches. I like Brian Price. I like Dylan. I like the fact that they're implementing certain things that I think can help him. But I'm with you. I think that it's a big question mark. I mean, he obviously, you know, he's a big piece in that middle of the order that he has to perform in order for this team to be successful.
All right, let's, on a personal note, your son was recently signed by the Braves, right?
So he was signed, but then it fell through the next day. It's kind of an oddity, to be quite honest with you, but he was signed, but it fell through the next day.
So he's playing in an independent league.
So he'll go back to the independent league. He'll be back in Gary, Indiana. Yeah.
All right. So is he home with you now? And
he's home with me. We just finished hitting about 15 minutes ago. So he's home now. You know, we're fortunate enough that we have enough room in our yard where we can fit the cage where he can hit. And, you know, he's
all right. Now, is he hitting off a tee? Do you have a pitching machine, or are you getting in there?
Well, he's got a tee. He does the whole thing on a tee. Then we do a little front toss, and then I throw.
Okay.
I don't go 60 feet, 6 inches. I mean, I'm, you know.
Yeah, you loop it around the cage, and he whacks.
Right? I'm on the open part of the L screen, but I'm probably about 45 feet away, and I try to throw as hard as I can. But there's not much left in the elbow or the shoulder. I mean, I've thrown so much BP over my time that there's not much left there.
Well, listen, keep it going. I got to tell you, I made an observation last year, and I'm going to miss this. And a lot of people have brought this up to me that I'm going to miss you doing this. But I made an observation that you really liked saying the name Cesar. that was your go-to. I noticed that you never said Hernandez. You would go last name on almost everybody else, but it was always Cesar. And my theory is you really liked saying it.
I got to tell you, I until you just said that, Mike, I had no idea that I did that.
I've been talking about it all last year.
I do like saying Cesar. And, in fact, I watched the replay of the Harper Grand Slam game today.
Yeah.
And obviously he's up, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, I'm going to miss seeing Cesar.
Yeah, there you go.
I said it three times.
It rolled Cesar. Off your tongue. Cesar. Like, you would go.
I literally said it three times. I'm in my truck, and I'm like, Cesar.
See, that's awesome. Cesar. Because I would hear you say Segura, and I would hear you call it Real Muto, something, but it was always Cesar.
That's really funny. That's really funny. I have, you know, there's certain things that you do. You know this. I mean, there's certain things that you do on a daily basis that you have no idea you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I love the Latino name. So I like to say Cesar.
Well,
I was going to say Cesar, and I would go Cecito a lot.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I don't think we say them right, to be honest with you. I mean, we don't. I mean, we.
Well, Ben was saying Caesar when you were going Cesar right next to you.
Well, you know, it's tough to always correct people, but when I hear people saying things a certain way, I'll say it again just so maybe that they hear it the right way.
All right, listen, man, good luck to you. We're all in the same condition, but you more than anybody, this is your livelihood, and it can't be fun right now not being able to do it. So hang in there and, keep that arm loose.
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, Tom McCarthy on the Comcast Business Line Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.